Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 305. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Obviously, a lot of Nick talk as we get ready for a game number 4 tonight in Indiana. Knicks trailing the series 2-1, but after the rousing comeback and the Karl Anthony Towns fourth quarter, they have now made this a series. Talking a lot about that as, again, this is now, I mean, we are in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Knicks have an opportunity to tie it up tonight, but it is also baseball season, and obviously, right now, the traditional first time we take a look at where these teams are is Memorial Day weekend. And obviously, this weekend was Memorial Day weekend. I hope everybody had a great, happy, healthy Memorial Day weekend and spent it with their families. And now we take a look at where these two teams are, and both of them, the New York Knicks coming off a series victory against Colorado, although they had the audacity to lose a game. Did I say Knicks? Oh, geez. The Yankees coming off a series where they lost to Colorado, which they had
to be fair, I think the Knicks might be able to beat the Rockies if you put them on a baseball field.
That is true. They are so bad. I mean, it is amazing to me. The Colorado Rockies are on pace to win 27 games. 27 games. There are, I mean, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There are 14 teams in baseball who have already won more than 28 games. How is that possible? How is that possible? That they're on pace to win less games than half the league has already won.
Including our team. So think about that. What we've already seen from the Yankees and Mets, plus a few.
Yeah.
The Rockies are on pace to do that over the course of 162 games.
It's amazing how bad they are. It's amazing what a joke. And what we've seen, you know, the top heavy and the bottom of, I mean, MLB has, like, we joke, I know I said this before, we're getting off track here, but it does bother me. Because I hate the Dodgers. I hate how they run their mouth at the end of the World Series. I have no love for the Dodgers. Screw them. They are the enemy. I hope they lose every single game. I don't, unless they play, you know, someone in the American League, obviously. But, like, I hate them. But the idea that we've had so much time spent on their bad for baseball, when we watch the Colorado Rockies not try to put a team forward, when we watch the Pittsburgh Pirates not try to capitalize on having one of the best young pitchers in the game, when we watch these teams who don't give a damn, it is obnoxious. It is obnoxious as we watch the White Sox. Now, I know Colorado beat the Yankees one game, and I know Hauser, of course, and the White Sox had the Mets 1-0 in the eighth inning. But I'm sorry, these teams are just putrid. You want to tell me that this is the... How about the Baltimore Orioles, who have all these young kids who are supposedly great and don't do a damn thing in the offseason? That's worse for baseball than the Dodgers trying to win. As obnoxious as it is, as stupid as it is, as much as I hate the deferred money that they're using, that tactic that they're using, all of it. The idea that that's bad for baseball when the Colorado Rockies don't give a damn about trying to give their fan base any kind of success for, what, 15 years now? Or that the Pittsburgh Pirates continue to not invest a single dollar into the team, and everybody's talking about how they have to trade one of the bright stars in the sport, otherwise it's a waste? That's what's bad for baseball. But now that I've talked about that at the 10 poll of the season, the New York Yankees are now 33-20, 13 games over 500. They have won 14 of their last 19. They have the best run differential, which is a clear-cut stat into how well your team is performing. They're scoring more runs and giving up less. They have the best run differential in the game. They are as hot as any team in the game. And it's really been with their pitching. As they, again last night, got another start from Ryan Yarbrough. The main problem with this team, the offense has been good since day one. If you remember, all the home runs, the torpedo bats, it's had its moments winning close games. It's had its moments from time to time with situational hitting. They're not perfect, but this offense has been explosive and has already had almost as many 5-plus run innings as they had all of last year. You are seeing performances from Bellinger. You are seeing performances from Goldschmidt. You are seeing performances, obviously, from Ben Rice and Trent Grisham that are far superior, far better than anything any Yankee fan could have possibly hoped for. We knew the offense was good. The issue is the back end of the bullpen with a struggling to find himself as a New York Yankee, Devin Williams, and the bottom of the rotation in Will Warren and, at the time, Cookie Carrasco. And if we look at this team, as great as the offense has been, the thing that has changed who they are, the thing that has allowed them to win every series dating back to early this month with the San Diego series, is that their pitching has dramatically changed. And Will Warren is now one of the early contenders for Rookie of the Year, striking out almost 9 per his last 4 starts, being, you know, although he gave up a couple of runs early to Colorado, continuing to really find himself, has excellent stuff, and has completely changed the narrative. And Ryan Yarbrough, who was a afterthought when signed, I was at a game where he gave up a grand slam, up 6 runs to the Arizona Diamondbacks, and we were all waiting for the next day for him to be, you know, DFA'd. And right now he has jumped into the starting rotation. And as a starter for the New York Yankees, he has a 2.2 ERA. And last night against the Angels, who are no pushover because although they're not a very good team, they do have some offensive weapons, and they just won 7 games in a row before losing the last 2 to the Marlins. And he pitches 6 innings of 1-run baseball. This is what he's doing consistently. Will Warren and Ryan Yarbrough are as big a reason for the Yankees' success over the last few weeks as anything. When you add Max Fried being an absolute ace of the staff and one of, if not the best pitcher in baseball in this season that is now a third of the way through, Devin Williams having his last 5 appearances being pretty much Devin Williams, and Weaver being as dominant a closer, although he's had some moments over the last 2 days, but still didn't blow the game and has hardly given up a run this year. He's given up 2 runs this entire season. He looks as the Yankee fans are as confident in him as a closer as we've had since Mo, pretty much. Not saying he's as good, but everyone who's filled in since, I don't know if you've had anyone you feel better about since Mariano Rivera. So the back end of the bullpen has kind of been fixed. Leiter's having an incredible year. Williams has turned it on, and Weaver is untouchable. The entire rotation is pitching far better. The top of it is dominant, and the back end of it now is finding itself. And this offense continues to do what it does. Right now, the Yankees are as good as any team in baseball and have as few flaws as any team in baseball.
They came out, I forget which website did it. I think it's Bleacher Report. They came out with the new, or MLB Network came out with the new top teams in baseball. Number 1, the New York Yankees. Like right now, they're playing that kind of brand of baseball. They win the first game of this series, and they're pitching lights out, and the offense is continuing to do what it does. Judge is still the best hitter on the planet. Hovering around, that's how good Judge is. And tell me, Yankee fans, you know it. You turn on the TV, you're watching the game, Judge comes up, and his batting average is .396. And you go, oh, man, Judge is slumping a little bit. He's under .400. Like, that's where we are, where we're somewhat taken aback and disappointed with a .393, .396 batting average from the greatest hitter in the world. That's where we are. So they have the biggest, and this is the first place where you start to look at the standings, and the New York Yankees have the biggest lead in all of baseball.
They have a 6-game lead in their division off a very mediocre division. There's no doubt the American League East has really fallen on tough times. The Red Sox were the second place team. They've obviously had their own issues with their superstar third baseman DH, don't want to be first baseman Rafael Devers. Now Alex Bregman's on the IL, and they're talking about that being about 2 months. The Tampa Bay Rays are in second place with 1 game over 500, 6 games back of the New York Yankees. The Tigers have a 5-game lead over the Cleveland Guardians, and that's it. The New York Yankees have the best run differential in the sport. The New York Yankees have the largest division lead in the sport. And over the last 18 or so games, nobody's been better in baseball. So they have their issues. Brian Cashman was doing some media stuff, talking about looking to add some pitching. You got Luis Gil coming back. You've got Giancarlo Stanton making his way back. And it's going to be interesting how they reincorporate Stanton and figure out what you're going to do with Ben Rice and what you're going to do with Grisham. Now that you throw Stanton in there, he's probably going to DH every day. So, I mean, right now they're flying high. By no means are they the greatest thing since sliced bread. They still have some issues on this team to fix at the deadline, third base being one of them. DJ LeMay, who started out hitting the ball hard, has really cooled off, and I don't know if that's an answer. In fact, I don't think it is. So you'd like to add a third baseman. You'd like to add some more pitching to the bullpen. They do have some flaws, but at the current moment, as we sit, the New York Yankees are as well off and are as fundamentally sound with as little flaws as any team in baseball. And then you get to the New York Mets, who had a huge series win after a very frustrating Friday night where they had multiple opportunities in extra innings to win a game, lost in 13 after having a rousing comeback to tie a game that felt cold and rainy and tired and sleepy, and they come back and find a way to tie it and then lose it in extras to come back and win those last two games against the Dodgers and to continue to get the pitching that they continue to get has been remarkable. And obviously everything with Juan Soto has been overshadowing everything else about this team, their struggles, their successes. You know, Beatty has obviously had such a promising run here. He's so much better defensively than Vientos. That's going to be a real question. Obviously, Nimmo really struggling, came through with a big hit today, but Nimmo's been kind of struggling offensively. But ultimately, they continue to pitch. Pete Alonso starting to get hot again. Lindor with the walk-off hit against the White Sox today. Walk-off sacrifice fly. Another sacrifice fly from Juan Soto, who's starting to turn it around. Big double off the wall in a game against the Dodgers on Saturday. So, listen. The issue with them is they have the Philadelphia Phillies and the Atlanta Braves in their division. And even though the Atlanta Braves right now are 2 games under 500 and haven't played that well, the Phillies right now have the best record in all of baseball. They are 34-19. The Mets 33-21. And they have questions, but the starting rotation's been excellent. The back end of the bullpen has been good enough as Diaz has, you know, kind of settled things down and looking a lot more like he did 2 years ago. Reed Garrett and Buto have kind of, you know, really found themselves and are pitching better. And the lineup is going to be the lineup. So right now it's kind of very smooth sailing for both teams. It was a big series win after really struggling and losing the Subway Series, losing the next series to a Boston team that really isn't very good. A lot of noise around Juan Soto. So for him to put one off the wall, have the big hit of that game, figure out a way to come back and win those last two games against the LA Dodgers, I really felt like stabilized a kind of dicey situation for the Mets for a couple of days there. That was a huge win Sunday night to get that game. And now they turn it into a win against the lousy White Sox as they're playing the White Sox here. And I think they play the Rockies too coming up, right? So, I mean, they're playing some lousy teams looking to get fat. But the Mets right now are, you know, now that the Juan Soto noise has calmed down a little bit. And again, he's still not performing with runners in scoring position. He's still struggling with that. He's hitting 200 where in a spot where last year with the Yankees, he was hitting 480 or something crazy like that. They showed the stat in today's game. The offense isn't really clicking on all cylinders, but this team is very good pitching-wise. Vientos and Beatty is going to be an interesting conversation as Vientos dealing with a little something, but he has just not been the same player. And Beatty is absolutely thriving. I mean, he is one of their biggest offensive weapons right now, and he's far superior defensively. It has been an amazing switch when you think about where they were last year, where Beatty got the start. Vientos is sent down to the minors when they signed J.D. Martinez. Beatty's given this run. He continues to struggle. They send him down. Vientos takes over the position. Vientos comes up two separate times, dominates, hitting home runs, incredible offensively, improving defensively, star in the postseason, was the team's third baseman moving forward. And I don't know if that switch has completely happened yet, but Beatty's killing it. Beatty has, to me, a nicer, more, you know, slump-proof kind of swing to him. I think he's got a really great swing. He's got easy opposite field power. So does Vientos. But he's so much better defensively than Vientos is. And Vientos has killed. It's not even that he's been poor defensively. He's killed them in big spots. Errors to start off the game that leads to runs. Errors in big spots. He had the glove issue where he didn't have it. He didn't have his equipment right, where a ball went right through the pocket of his glove. There's been some issues with Vientos to go along with not hitting. And right now, you got to play Beatty every day. So as we stop to take a breath here the day after Memorial Day weekend, both teams are extremely talented. Both teams are having great starts to their season. The Mets are a game and a half back of Philadelphia, and the Yankees have the best record, the second best record in the American League, and they have the biggest division lead in all of baseball with the biggest run differential. We are having a very nice baseball season. I do want to get into a couple things in particular. That was kind of just the overall shtick of Memorial Day. But I want to have a conversation about Anthony Volpe in a little bit. We'll take some calls now. I want to talk about Anthony Volpe because I got to be honest. I've been critical of Anthony Volpe, and I have talked about how this season can't look like his previous seasons, that there has to be a jump in his performance if he's going to be the shortstop for the New York Yankees. And it feels like not many people are recognizing that there has been a jump, that he is far better, that he's having a much better offensive season, and that he's an above-average major league hitter. So many Yankee fans talk about him like he's a disaster. I went to the Subway Series game. He had a miserable game that Sunday night against the Mets. He left a village on the base paths. The vitriol I heard from fans coming up to me talking about him, where he was hitting in the lineup, what kind of player he is, what he's developed into. The vitriol for a guy who is a gold glove shortstop who has every number, like the average major league hitter, the batting average in Major League Baseball this year right now is .244. That's exactly what Volpe is hitting. His batting average is a precisely league average. The average OPS is .711. That's the average OPS. Anthony Volpe is about 70 points higher than that. He's got an OPS plus of .116. He is 16% better than the average hitter. He's a homegrown product. He was the biggest prospect in the system. He was a top 5 or 6 prospect in all of baseball. He has not panned out to be that. He is not Bobby Witt Jr. Although Gunnar Henderson is having a down year, he is not Gunnar Henderson. He is not a superstar. He is not going to be the next Yankee superstar who leads them into the next era of Yankee baseball after Judge is no longer this. That is not who he is. But he is a homegrown starting shortstop who's won a gold glove and right now is an above average offensive player and a top 10 offensive shortstop in the game. He is 4th in RBIs in shortstop. He's 11th in OPS. Like, there has been a major jump. This was a guy who had a 680 OPS for the first 2 years of his career. Why do Yankee fans still hate this guy? I don't get it. He's a homegrown hit kid who plays hard, who loves being a Yankee, and is putting up, when combined with his defense,
an above-average major league shortstop. They found an above-average major league shortstop through their system. That is a positive. It is not easy to do. To go along with what they've done with Ben Rice, to go along with what they've done with Jason Dominguez, to go along with what they've done with Will Warren. But the vitriol for, I don't understand why people are so mad and think Volpe sucks. I honestly don't get it. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back with your phone calls. Rob in New London, we're going to talk some Yankees. Obviously, Knicks are still on the table. We'll get more into depth and some different things, but that was just the overall feel for where this baseball season is, and it's a very positive outlook. The Mets continue to pitch incredibly well. The offense, while not clicking, still has superstars in it that are getting done just enough to continue to go out there and win. And right now, whether you think this is the Yankee shill talking or not, the Yankees have won 14 of their last 19 games. They have the best run differential in the sport. Their pitching is completely shifted. The rotation, the back end of the bullpen, and the offense is the best in Major League Baseball. And they have the biggest division lead in the entire sport. And yet, I still get pushback on how bad this team is. It makes me laugh.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 333, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Yeah, I mean, the Anthony Volpe thing, I was critical of him, and I said, at the start of this year, I said, if Anthony Volpe has another 680, 690 OPS season, the New York Yankees cannot go into next year just giving him the shortstop job. At the very least, someone has to be in camp, whether it be a veteran, another young player, I don't know. But there has to be someone in heading into spring training next year who is going to compete with him for the starting job, who has a legitimate chance to outplay him and take the job. You cannot just hand him the job again after year three without any offensive improvement. He's making offensive improvement. He's got an OPS of 763. He's got 31 RBIs. He's tied for third with Mookie Betts for RBIs from the shortstop position. He's got 6 home runs. That puts him 8th at the shortstop position. OPS is 10th at the shortstop position. He's an above-average major league hitter at the moment. I'm not saying let's go celebrate Anthony Volpe and put him in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying Anthony Volpe is going to be the next great player for the New York Yankees. What I'm saying is why do we look at, like, and people have posted this too, nobody gets on Wells. Nobody. And I love Wells. And again, now he's got only Cal Raleigh has more RBIs than Wells, but every one of those numbers are worse for Wells than it has been for Volpe. And if you're a Yankee fan and you've watched, he's had many worse at-bats than Volpe has. He's had a much worse offensive season than Anthony Volpe has. But nobody gets on Wells. Nobody is screaming about Wells. But Anthony Volpe is the ire of like almost every Yankee fan. I don't know why, other than the Yankees passed on other free agent shortstops, a bunch, 5 or 6, who, let's be honest, right now, I know people might not want to hear this, he's obviously better than Trevor Story, and he's obviously better than Carlos Correa. Now, in a big game, in a postseason series, would Correa show up and that's what he's done? Yeah, okay, I'm just saying, right now, he's been the better player of those two, without question. But he's not Seager, and he's not what we hoped he would be. He's not what we were promised. He's not the golden boy. He's not a star in this league. And I'm not saying he is. But, you know, he strikes out a couple of times as the fifth hitter against the Mets, and suddenly it's like, get him the hell out of the lineup. He's a bum. Play Peraza, anybody but him, and he can't hit fifth in this lineup. He can't hit fifth in this lineup. I see, Nick Totoro doing a big video about how he can't hit fifth in this lineup. He's got a 1.0 OPS against left-handed pitching. He's killing left-handed pitching. Who should hit in front of him? Who should get more at bats against left-handed pitching? Not Dominguez, not Peraza, not Wells. Who? He's having a good season. He's not having a great season. The other day against Colorado, he saves a run with an incredible play and then hits a leadoff triple, and we're like talking like the guy's a bum. I don't understand. That's all I'm saying. I don't understand the vitriol. I don't understand why the Yankee fan is so against this kid. I don't get it. If he had the 690 OPS, if he was having the same offensive seasons we've seen over the last 2 years, I was the first one to say, can't be the starting shortstop. Playing Gold Glove caliber defense with a 763 OPS. That's a starting shortstop. And a cheap one. And, let's not forget, one that performed in the postseason last year. For a fan base that claims all they care about is the postseason, he performed. I don't get it. Rob in New London. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Chris. You never disappoint with your rants.
Thank you.
Well done, well done. Now, as far as Anthony Volpe, glad that you brought that up. Look, he's like, Ford F-150. He's an XLT package right there. He's not a Platinum or Eddie Bauer or whatever. He's XLT. That's what we have in the driveway. He'll be fine. Maybe we upgrade. Maybe we don't. We pay out the car note. I mean, he's just fired, the way I look at him. But Aaron Judge, I think he's sustainable. Look at the guys. He's been around since 2016. He was drafted, 2013, the 31st pick?
I forget which year he was drafted, but his first, he came up at the tail end of the 16 season, and then his rookie season was 17.
Yeah, he came up with the other big guy that didn't really last as long, and they both hit home runs like the same back weekend back, or whatever. Yeah,
no, back-to-back in the same game.
Yeah, the original Baby Bombers, boy, they've come a long way. But look at Aaron Judge's his stat line. It looks like a gigantic, like, crossword, not crossword puzzle, but, like, word, whatever. I mean, he's got, like, 10 years of, I mean, a little bit less, of course. Look at the sample size, and it just gets better and better and better year after year after year. I mean, it's so sustainable. That's what's unbelievable about Aaron Judge. This is not smoke and mirrors. I mean, it's wonderful to have him on the Yankees because it's his average has just gotten nothing but better over the years. You know, who's to say it's not even going to get? It's probably going to get better.
No, I mean, I hope. I don't know. I think this is. How much better could he be? How much better could he be? I know Ohtani hit a home run to lead off the game yesterday. So he's one behind Ohtani in homers. The guy is hitting .390. He leads the world in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, so obviously OPS, OPS plus, total bases. He's the RBIs. He leads the American League in home runs. He's the Triple Crown winner right now, if the season ended today, for the American League. Like, it's just... he's crazy. How much better could he get? It's insane. I'm not kidding. I know you felt it, Yankee fans, because so did I. When he steps up to the plate and they show his batting average, you went, oh, man, .396. He dipped under .400. You almost are let down that he's only hitting .395. It's crazy. He's insane. Enjoy it, because we're never going to see anything like this again. It's crazy how good Judge is right now. But again, no one,
It's going to be his numbers go back to 0-0-0-0-0 on everything come the first game of the playoffs. And that's all that's going to matter for a lot of people. And I get it. He's got to go win. Totally agree. But he doesn't have to win. Here's where I guess I differ than many people. He doesn't have to win for me to believe that what he puts forth over the regular season is special, it's incredible, and it's worth being amazed by, and it's worth enjoying and worth loving. Like, it's just, he's the, and I still can put him as the best even without a championship. I can look at the 162. I think baseball is very much like that and go, man, this is the greatest hitter I've ever seen. Or I know I don't know if I'm putting it at Bonds yet, but this is the greatest right-handed hitter I've ever seen. I can still say that without winning, but it won't be the same. It won't be like Jeter on Old Timers Day. It'll be like, wow, an incredible player, but like he's got to win to be a beloved Yankee. He doesn't have to win to be classified as the greatest right-handed hitter of all time. Or the greatest right-handed hitter I've ever seen. He doesn't. I'm sorry, I don't think he does. He's got to win to be a beloved Yankee. Jason in Waterbury. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Chris, great to talk to you, bro. What's up, man?
What's up, man? How are you?
Not much. Listen, I got a couple points I want to get across to you. Let's go Knicks. But with Volpe, the problem with Volpe is, and why Yankee fans are so down on him, Chris, is because your beloved general manager, Brian Cashman, put so much pressure on this guy because of what he said he was going to be and the guys he passed up, the shortstop.
Well, I mean, he definitely passed up on shortstops. Yeah. He passed, and it was also for
Peraza. He didn't want to spend any money.
It was one of the two. He thought that he had one of two major prospects.
To me, he hyped up Volpe much more than he did Peraza, especially with the bat. And number two, listen, I agree with Judge, what you're saying about Judge, because I don't agree that, you know, look at Marino. Marino's the best case ever, along with Barkley, Ewing, and those guys. Those guys are all-time legends, and I still think that as all the great quarterbacks have come and gone, I still think in a big game, if I had one quarterback to choose, I'm taking Marino. I don't care what he's won, so I agree with that. I guess it's just different when you're a Yankee, and, you know, Judge is great, no doubt about it. I'll still say Manny Ramirez is better as far as right-handed hitters go, but I agree with what you're saying with that as far as winning championships, because, yes, championships are important, but you cannot – underestimate or understate what this guy's doing. And listen, I saw Tony Gwynn at 394 at the All-Star break, which is unbelievable. What Judge is doing is unbelievable, you know what I mean? But I agree with that because Marino, he's the best quarterback ever. I don't care what anybody says. And he got robbed of a Super Bowl. They lost in the AFC title game in 85 to the Patriots, which was an unbelievable joke. But Marino,
I know they played the Bears well that year, and with one of
Monday night they beat them.
Yeah, they probably would have still got smoked in the Super Bowl though. The Bears.
Yeah, you're probably right, but he probably would have gave a great effort.
I agree, and thank you for the call. I agree with you. I mean, it's a stain that sticks with him, and I think quarterbacks are different than any baseball player. Starting pitcher, right fielder, middle of the lineup hitter, closer. I don't care what position you play in baseball. It's not the same as the impact that you have as the quarterback of an NFL team. So quarterbacks wear it more than baseball players do. You got to win to be great at that position. Like maybe goal, you know, we see if Hank is going to be able to, you know, I mean, goaltender and quarterback kind of, you know, get the wins. Like, the wins go to their names. They go on their stat line, you know. And I think you have to – the quarterbacks are a little different, but I agree with you. Dan Marino's an all-time great player of the position. It doesn't matter how many championships he won or didn't win. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. People think Aaron Rodgers hasn't won enough. I understand. And right now, you know, he's holding up the Steelers. There are rumors he's still waiting for Minnesota. But I still think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game, even if he didn't win as many Super Bowls as some others. Like, I just, that's how I feel about it. And, yeah, but the Anthony Volpe thing, I don't understand. Get over the idea he was supposed to be something else. I get it. I agree. He is not nearly what we hoped. When he had that incredible spring and won the job, I thought we had
a great player on our hands, like a really great all-star, great player. And maybe someday we will. Maybe. I doubt it. And I don't think he'll ever be what we really hoped he would be. Maybe he'll make an all-star here or there. But he's not going to be what we thought he was going to be. An all-time great. He's not Bobby Witt Jr. He's not anywhere close to Bobby Witt Jr. He's not Ellie De La Cruz, or at least doesn't have that capability that Cruz has shown us, although right now he has a higher OPS than Ellie De La Cruz. But you got to get over that and recognize for what he is. He can be a winning player, a Gold Glove caliber shortstop who's an above average offensive player, which is what he is right now. He has an OPS higher than the above average OPS. His OPS plus is 116, which is technically 16% better than the average player. Like, he's an above average bat, and he's a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. Like, that's a useful player. He's not going to hit you 100 home runs. He's not going to hit 330. Ideally, I would rather have him not hit fifth, and he's not going to when Stanton comes back. But at the moment, he is the best option to be your fifth hitter against left-handed pitching. But, like, why do we hate on him? Like, nobody else, like, other guys who come up through the system who are this productive at the moment, like, he's productive enough. The Yankees are winning. I just don't understand. And this is coming directly from being at Yankee Stadium. I really didn't get a chance to talk to about it. We were doing so much Knicks and everything. And then it got even worse over the last couple of days. But I heard it at the Yankee game Sunday night. Major vitriol. This guy sucks. That's what I got Sunday night. Now, I know Yankee fans and fans in general are live in the moment. Everyone wants to win that game. And he didn't help them win the game. He had terrible at-bats in that game. Had a miserable night. So I guess that's part of it. But, man, I was like, why do we hate this dude so much? Like, he's having a good little year. He has made the improvements. He's a Yankee farmhand who is an above-average offensive shortstop who's really good at defense. Like, that's still a win. If you find that guy, if you develop that guy, that's a win. Because he's good enough to be your starting shortstop for 10 years. The player that he is right now is good enough to be your shortstop for the next 10 years. He's not a world beater, but he's good enough to be your guy. And he plays hard, and he busts his ass, and he runs everything out. Like, he does all the stuff we ask of our players. He does all of it. And yet we, like, are really rough on him. Jose in Waterbury. What's up, Jose?
Hey, what's up, T-Mac?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm blessed. Quick, I'm going to make it quick. First thing about Volpe is, like, I feel like Volpe is everything he's supposed to be. He does everything by the book and everything. But when you come behind Jeter, there's no way.
He's not coming behind Jeter. Jeter's a long time ago.
Right, but Jeter said that he is the face of the Yankees. Even though it was a long time ago, he's like the ultimate Yankee.
So when you play that position,
that position itself, it's like, all right, well, you held to a different standard. But that's, I think the same thing will happen with Judge. When Judge leaves, it's like the guy who replaces Judge, who can't be replaced, he's never going to be Judge. So, I mean,
I know, but he didn't replace Jeter. There's Didi Gregorius. There's IKF. There's, like, he's not. Gleyber Torres played shortstop. It's not like Jeter retired last year. Jeter was inducted into the Hall of Fame before Volpe started playing, for crying out loud. Like, the idea that he's replacing Derek Jeter, he's not. He's playing the same position. Sure. But, I mean. I don't think he has to live up to being Derek Jeter. Who would? The guy missed one vote from being a unanimous Hall of Famer. You expect the next Yankee shortstop to be him? I don't get that. I don't get it. And this is coming from someone who was critical of the kid. Last year was ugly until the postseason. And I said he can't have another offensive season like that. And who knows? Maybe he will. I'm not even saying he's a stamp, sealed, delivered, excellent. He's going to be the shortstop for the next 10 years. What I'm saying is the player we're seeing right now for the first third of this season is what I was hoping he would be this year. Like, we expected the jump. Listen, should he be stealing more bases and being a little bit more aggressive on the base path? Yes. Does he still occasionally make an error in a big spot? Yes. He's not perfect. He's not wonderful. He's not an all-star. But he's a homegrown, talented kid who cares very much about being a Yankee, who busts his ass, runs out everything, never not hustling. And I hear like, oh, why is he going to talking to the pitcher? I'm so sick of Anthony Volpe out there on the pitcher's mound. These are the things I hear. And it's like crazy. Rob and Rockaway, what's up, Rob?
Hey, just wanted to check in. And first of all, you are, and I don't say this lightly because I listen to all of them, you're by far the best person on this radio station to listen to. And
well,
I know that you never switch pod fights, but I mean that. I tried to call before and share it. I work real late, and I try and get out early just to get in the car and listen to you.
Well,
the next part is the Yankee team feels a little different this year, and I haven't had this feeling. I'm 47, so I've watched them suck. I've watched them be great. There's something just different this year. Do you think it comes from not signing Soto?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but, Rob. We had you just long enough to get the compliment in, and then the phone went. I appreciate you. Yeah, there is something different about this team. You know what I've noticed about this team, honestly? And I didn't want to go too into waxing poetic, the first baseball segment I did here, but we'll have plenty of time to do it. Following Yankee games all week out on the West Coast. They're athletic. They're far more athletic. I think, how many times can you count beating out a double play? Beating out a double play to score a run. Beating out a double play to keep a runner at third with less than two outs. Like, they beat out more double plays. They go first to third much better. The stolen bases aren't where I was hoping it would be. I'll be honest with you on that. I thought Volpe was going to steal a lot more bases. I thought Dominguez was going to steal a lot more bases. Obviously, Jazz has been down with the injury. I was hoping Jazz would steal more bases. They haven't been running the base paths with abandon like I was hoping they would really try and do, especially late in the game. I just wish they would try and get into scoring position. They haven't done it, and it's been disappointing. But first to third, even Goldschmidt is far more athletic than Rizzo was. Like, everybody. Like, that's what I've noticed. That's the first thing that jumps out at me about this team offensively. They beat out ground balls. They beat out infield singles. They go first to third. They take the extra base. They are far more athletic. They're far better defensively. Bellinger is an excellent defensive outfielder. Judge, Grisham, and Bellinger, and I know Dominguez, and Dominguez occasionally will take a bad route to a ball, but he hasn't hurt them, really, and he's made every single play. He hasn't had a single one of those, oh my God, how the hell is he out there in left field? He hasn't dropped a ball, hasn't lost one in the sun, nothing. Occasionally he takes a bad route to a ball and doesn't make a play that most guys would make. And certainly coming in, he's afraid of charging a ball and having it get past him. So he lets a lot of balls bounce in front of him that other outfielders would get. But he hasn't killed them. But Bellinger, Grisham, and Judge, that without question in my mind, and I watch a lot of baseball, that's the best defensive outfield in Major League Baseball. If those three are on, if Bellinger's in left, Grisham in center, Judge in right, that is bar none the best defensive outfield in baseball. I am so impressed with how good Bellinger is out in the outfield, and we know what Grisham and Judge are. You had Goldschmidt at first, Volpe at short. Like, I think they are far better defensively. Now, also, the lineup is just straight up deeper. And as of late, over this stretch of 18 games, they've come through in clutch situations where at the beginning of the year they weren't. But the lineup is deeper. They give you better at-bats. They're more athletic. There's a good mix of youth and veteran guys. I mean, it doesn't hurt that Goldschmidt's the second-best average hitter in the American League. Like, it's been Bellinger's on fire now, carrying the team. I don't know. There's really not a lot to be disappointed about or unhappy about. The Yankees right now are kind of clicking on all cylinders. And they are as much fun to watch since 2017, because of the youth, because they're relying on Dominguez, because they're relying on, you know, Rice and Volpe and Wells. There's a lot of youth on the team. to go along with some veterans who've come in and really fit right in and done a great job, plus the best hitter in the game. A closer we love, and a starting rotation that over the last month has been dominant. With the best pitcher in the American League in Fried, and a Carlos Rodon, who we all hated, who every one of us have to admit, guy's been nails.